Amen. We want to preach on the subject today, stay prayed up. This is from the Lord's Prayer that we've just read, and I will read that prayer again. Actually, it's a prayer that Jesus gave us, and some of the Bibles have it captioned the model prayer. After this manner, you are to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Stay prayed up. Father, we are again thankful for this wonderful opportunity to share your word. And even though I've studied, I've prayed over it, I've read the verses, Lord, I cannot proclaim your word without the power from you. Help me to share that which is right, that which is needed, and Lord, that your people might be built up, established, strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. We thank you for all these blessings. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. What is the meaning of prayer? And why are we suggesting that people ought to be prayed up? Musical artist Candice Burris described the necessity of prayer and also the power of prayer. She writes these lyrics, I stay prayed up, that gets me by. That's how I made it through my darkest times. Yeah, I'm a sinner, and that's no lie. Thank God my prayers are heard, because he knows I try. Amen. Stay prayed up. Do you find yourself struggling, in need of an answer from God, in need of strength from God, in need of courage from God? Facing those tough times, we cannot do it without the power of God. And the way that we access this power of God is not through our own efforts, but through one channel. And that channel is prayer. You know, there are a lot of people that they say, I want to live right. Well, living right is the expression of God doing something in your life. It's not how you get the power from God. And people say, well, I want to learn more. Learning more is fine, but that's not how you get the power from God. You can only get it from one access place, and that is through God himself. We must come to him in prayer and make our petition be known. Why do we need to stay prayed up? Well, we have these things called weaknesses, sins. If anyone tells you that they're not a sinner, then they've deceived themselves and they've made God out of a liar, because God puts us into a position of necessity that we might learn how to depend on him. So we have to stay prayed up. We need God even to help us pray, because we cannot pray in our own words or in our own methods. We have to depend on him. And that's why Jesus gave us this model prayer. But he also wants us to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us pray. You see, when you're praying, even though you're saying and you're expressing your heart to God, you cannot pray as powerful as the Holy Spirit that's in you. Amen. When you're born again, when you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life to help you pray. And as it says here in Romans 8:26, he makes intercessions for you with groanings that cannot be uttered or put into words. Words cannot describe the things that the Holy Spirit asks God to do in your life, because he wants not just to get you past your temporary need, he wants to bring you into the presence of God and during that process to make you everything that you could be in Christ. Most of us would admit, I'm not there yet. I want to be. It's in my heart, but I still got a lot of pride. Each time I look in the mirror, I have a lot of my own ways. One of the things you learn to pray in this model prayer, not my will. All of us struggle with that because we have our own idea of what's right. And usually what's right is our way. Frank Sinatra was honest when he said, I did it my way. A lot of us don't want to be honest with ourselves, but we're living our life our way rather than God's way. We automatically assume that we know what we need when actually we don't know. The earlier part of this verse will tell us that we don't know how to pray as we ought to. Two things there. You don't know how to pray. You don't know what to ask for, nor do you know how to pray as you ought to be actually prompted to pray. When we think we don't need to pray, that's usually when we need to. When we think that everything is going all right, that's when the enemy is circling, waiting for his opportunity to attack. But thank God for prayer. As old folks say, you can stay prayed up. Amen? So we have to deal with this issue of what we call prayer blockers. Prayer blockers. These are things that we might find as distractions, things that will keep us out of an attitude of prayer. Notice when Jesus opens this verse, he says to us, after this manner, which means I want you to pray. I really want you to pray. Now, let's reflect for a minute the culture that Jesus is speaking to. Let's think about not just our generation, but he's speaking to people of the Jewish culture. And in the Jewish culture, you had these things called priests. And the people would bring their animal, they would bring their goods or whatever it was that they were going to sacrifice to God, and the priest would offer it on the altar. Now, we do some things that are symbolic, but our ultimate sacrifice is Jesus. So we don't have to bring the animals. We don't have to bring the flour or the grain or any of these things. We bring ourselves, and we bring ourselves as a living sacrifice. We're going to give ourselves to God. But in that culture, what they would do is they would bring their animals, they would bring their sacrifice, and the priest would go to God on their behalf. Now, here's Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount saying, you don't need the priest to pray for you. You need God. You don't need someone to intercede for you. You need God. Now, why would Jesus say that? Two things I think come to mind. Number one, the priest may not ask God the way you would ask God. He may not do that. I can pray with you, but I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what's on your mind. And when Jesus said, after this manner, you pray, he was saying, God wants to hear from you. Amen. Now, the verse prior to that, he says, now, he already knows what you're going to ask him.
That's right.
Isn't that something? He already knows what you need, but God wants to hear from you.
Amen.
Now, why is that? Because he's a personal God. As great as he is, as awesome as he is, as much as he has, God wants to hear from you personally. He wants to talk with you. Oh, but preacher, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to express it. And so you come to these things called prayer blockers. The other thing about priests is that you ever try to catch up with a preacher to pray for you? And sometimes they'll answer the call and return, and sometimes they won't. I know, I'm guilty. So you got to look at the availability of the priest. If you're going to depend on the priest to pray for you, now you got to look at the availability of the priest. And he may not understand you. He may not know the depth of your need. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, a priest by the name of Eli saw a woman praying, which even before Jesus said this, people could pray on their own. And he saw this woman praying by the name of Hannah, and she was moving her lips but not saying words. And he didn't understand what was on her heart, but God understood what was on her heart. And he judged her. He said, you need to quit drinking. Thought she had been drinking, thought she was under the influence. And really it was because she had a broken and a heavy heart that she was praying. And she said, no, sir, I'm not drinking. I'm not of those wayward women. I'm here because I've got a petition. I've got something I need to tell God. And I could have come to you, but you can't tell it like I can tell it. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Amen. It's good to have folks to pray with you, but when you're asking them to pray for you, look at somebody and say, you don't know like I know. No, you can't tell it the way I can tell it. So and when Jesus did this, he opened up the doors, not just the window of heaven. Jesus opened up the door because he wanted us not just to get our request up, but come on in. Come on in. Come on in and have fellowship with God. Come on in and talk with God. Isn't it amazing that God is not just there to give you stuff, but God said, come talk to me. He knows what you want, knows what you need, but he wants to hear from you. Some of the prayer blockers, the things that we face in our life as we try to live for God, the first one is self-directed prayers. And that's why I'm so glad Jesus said pray in this manner, because a lot of us, if we could pray our self-directed prayers, we would just come in, not reverence God, not say a word, but you know, that's bad manners when you go into somebody's house and you don't even speak to them. Amen. You come in, you can't even say hello, how you doing? Amen. That's not country manners, amen? And anybody that comes in your house and wants to get your stuff and haven't asked your permission, help me somebody, they're the same as a robber or a thief. Do I have a witness here? So for us to come to God, want his stuff, and can't talk to him, something wrong with you. That's a self-directed prayer. So Jesus said, when you pray, the first thing you do is address God. Our Father, which art in heaven. Notice he didn't say, my Father. Some folk think they're the only ones know how to contact God. I won't gonna preach like this, but I see I got to break it down. Amen. In other words, when you get on your knees, bring somebody else with you. Don't just pray for me, myself, and I. Pray for somebody else, because whatever you're going through, somebody else is going through it always. So so if you're just praying, Lord, help my finance, somebody else is just as broke as you are, amen? They're just as messed up as you are. That's why when you fall on your knees to pray, say, our Father. Be inclusive. Don't be exclusive. That's self-directed prayer. But then another prayer blocker is the hypocritical prayer. Now, I know we look at that as a person that say one thing and do something else, and that's true in a limited sense. That's true in a limited sense. But Jesus, he describes what the hypocrite is. He said, now the hypocrites love to pray standing in the synagogue, standing in a public arena where they think that they're going to be heard by other folk. And so they'll pray these expressive prayers. Come on now. And they'll pray to get the attention, or they stand on the street corner. I'm being critical. You ever heard people, and this bothered me because I used to attend the Church of God in Christ for a little while, and this bothered me about certain folk. You know, when you meet them in church, amen, they praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, amen, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Now, the same folk, don't meet them on Saturday night because they got a different conversation. Yes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yes. Those are the same folk that will cuss you out. Yes. Amen? Amen. Those are the same. You getting ready to make me take off my religion. Yes. You see what I'm saying? Yes. Those are hypocritical. Now, Jesus was describing the theater when he used that term. There were people that the same actor would come out on the stage and he'd wear a mask. And then he'd go back to do another part. He'd get another mask and he would wear the mask. Pull off the mask if you're going to pray.
Amen.
Be real with God.
Amen.
Let God know, Lord, this is me. That little prayer that someone wrote said, Jesus, this is Jimmy. Sometimes you just got to be plain and you just got to come before the Lord in your way and say, Lord, you know what I need more than I do myself. I just want to be real. I'm not trying to be a phony. I'm not trying to impress people. I want to meet with God. I need to talk with him because Lord knows that I couldn't make it without the Lord. Jesus said, don't pray those hypocritical prayers. Be real when you pray. But then the third thing, vain repetitions. Like the Lord didn't hear you the first time. Vain. He said, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do. Now the heathens would pray and they would have these rehearsed prayers and they would say them over and over and over and over again. Now the reason why they prayed the same prayer over and over and over again, because they were praying to a God who couldn't answer. Am I talking to the right folk? And knowing that their God did not answer them, they would keep asking. But you're not talking to that kind of God. You're not talking to a piece of wood or rock. You're talking to the living God. You're talking to El Shaddai. You're talking to God Almighty. You're talking to the Lord of glory. And if God can't fix it, nobody can. Are y'all going to pray with me today? So you got to understand, you don't come to him saying the same words. Now, sometimes you might come to him with the same need because it may not be his time to help you. And so you're saying, Lord, I know you can handle this. Don't use those vain repetitions because they're prayer blockers. They're things that will hinder your prayer life. And so Jesus went on to say, after this manner, you pray. So let's look at prayer. Let's pray. First of all, honor God. Very quickly, going to go through this. Honor God. Amen. Honor him. Honor him because he's worthy. He didn't just wake up this morning. You didn't just wake up this morning and all of a sudden God was God. See, in this country, we can elect our officials, but you don't elect God. He's self-elected and self-appointed. Amen, somebody. He's God all by himself. Amen. As a matter of fact, his very title indicates that he's self-sustaining. He doesn't need anything else. If the universe would all of a sudden disappear, there would still be God. He cannot disappear because he is self-existent. Now, unlike you and me, we have to eat food to survive. Amen. But God doesn't need anything. If all of the angels in glory decided that they were going to stand against God, God would still win. Because all he has to do is speak the word and they would vanish. God is the self-existing God. And I wish we would realize that, because sometimes we come to God with this itty bitty little need that we have. And even though it's great to us, it's small to God. And here we come, Lord, if you can handle this, will you please honor God when you pray? And know that he's bigger than your problem. The problem is you've been looking at your situation and you haven't been looking at God. Take one look at God, then look at your problem and say, Lord, this ain't no problem for you. You can handle this. Amen. You can take care of this. Jesus said, when you come into his presence, honor him. Say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, which means you're saying he's holy above everything else. You're sanctifying the Lord God in your heart. The second thing we have to do when we pray is to request and to make our petition known. Now, don't ask the petition before you honor him. Before you call out his name, don't say, God, I want your stuff. Now, he already knows you need his stuff, right? So don't ask for the stuff first. You have enough good manners, as the old folks would say, have enough good manners to at least say, Lord, this is yours. And if you want to give me that new car, thank God for the new car. Amen.
Amen.
But just let the Lord know that you're honoring and you're worshiping him, and then make your provision. He says, now, two things here. Give us this day our daily bread.
Amen.
We go for the daily bread and forget all about the day. When I read this, I had to take a shout moment, because I realized if you don't get the day, then you have daily bread.
Amen. That's right.
you, how many of us have had a condition where we couldn't eat? The bread was there, but your day was not working out right where you could eat. Am I talking to the right folk in here? You need God to first give you the day. And you know what God said this morning? I'm going to give you a new day. Don't relive what happened yesterday. People say, why are you so jolly every morning, Reverend Coleman? I'm going to get to that in a minute. But one of the persons I've learned to forgive is myself. I can do some stupid stuff sometimes. Now, I'm going to admit mine. Y'all going to go back. Y'all going to sit back and fold your arms and look sanctified. But I'm going to admit I can do some dumb stuff. But do you not know that the dumb stuff you can take to God?
Amen.
I'm gonna give you one of them because I don't want rumors to leave the church about Reverend. Guess what about Reverend Cole? That's why I tell about myself because, amen, the critics and the gossips don't have anything to say. Well, he done said it all. Right after I got saved and I knew the Lord, I used to have a little drinking issue. Amen. I used to have a little drinking issue. No, I had a big drinking issue. And the problem was I couldn't drink. I mean, a little bit would just, I'm wasted, you know. Man, you ain't had but two beers. I'm just wasted. After I got saved, I wanted to know that I was saved, okay? I wanted to really know that I was saved. And so, Brenda, what I did, I said, Lord, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I belong to God. And so, Lynn, what I did was I was on a plane getting ready to go somewhere, and I ordered a drink. But I'm saved. And Carol, I knew that God had delivered me from that. And here's what was going through my mind. I wonder if I can drink this drink and still be saved. Stupid. But you know what? I sat there. Drank half of it, and I said to myself, this is crazy. Why in the world am I tempting God? Why in the world am I doing something so ridiculous as this? And on the spot, I asked God, please forgive me.
Amen.
Please help me. Please, Lord, work in my life. And so I've learned to trust God more than my circumstance.
Amen.
Why, Reverend, why you tell that story? Because some of you, when you get to a certain pressure point, you're going to feel like, I need a drink.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. You don't need a drink. You need God.
Amen.
But I'm facing something right here. But wait a minute. Don't turn to the bottle.
Amen.
Turn to the Savior.
Amen.
Turn to God. Set your face to Zion.
Amen.
And know that God is a prayer answer. I preached to somebody up in here. I don't know who you, it might have been me because I Lord knows I faced some pressures in life. Matter of fact, the other day, Miss Cavalier, I had gotten to a point, things got on my job so frustrated. I said, you know what, Lord? But I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, I feel like taking a drink. But I talked to the Lord first, and then he said, you don't need a drink. You need me. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. All right, we're moving on. And then seek God's forgiveness. I said that to express this one point. You need God's forgiveness every day the same way you need his daily bread.
Amen.
You need his forgiveness not, well, I did something last week. You did something this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Or didn't do something this morning.
Yes.
That you need God's forgiveness. There's not a soul that walks into this church can say, I'm exempt. I'm exempt. I'm perfect. You sure about that? You sure about that? Because I'm as good as the preacher. Guess what? When the Lord compares your righteousness, he ain't going to put you up against the preacher.
All right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know who he's going to put you up against? Jesus himself. You think you're perfect? Come on. So when he compares us to Jesus, now your righteousness doesn't shine too well, does it? But if you know that you're in Christ, and you know that he's forgiven you, everything is all right, amen? But now here's the other part of that verse. Did you read the latter part of that verse? Forgive us our debts as... And I got to finish preaching. We're almost on Sunday school time. I'm sorry. We'll get that in a minute. As we forgive our what? Debtors. Now, here's where we got a problem. Here's where we got a problem. Folks mess with you, you take one of two responses. The first one is, that's all right. You ain't going to do it again. Right? How many of y'all there? That's me. I ain't going to have nothing else to do with you. That ain't forgiveness. Now, I didn't say make yourself a doormat. You walk on me one time, you can walk on me again. No, I didn't say that. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. So don't leave Crossroad thinking, I got to forgive folks again and come on, walk on me. I didn't say that. Say, Reverend Coleman, you didn't say that. All right, thank you. All right, so what I am saying is when you have forgiveness, you also forget.
Yes.
You forget that sin. Because when you come to God, you not only want him to forgive you, you want him to forget your sin. And you know what he does with your sin? He buries it in the sea of forgetfulness. Now, forgetting is not like, well, I can't remember that. He does not bring it into his mind. All right, now, here we go. How many of y'all have had some folk that wronged you? We had a guy in the military. When he got orders to go to another base, Earl, what he did, he would go through the base and borrow like $100 from this guy and say, I'll pay you back payday. How many of y'all have had folks like that? I'm going to pay you back on payday. Well, he knew he was going to be out at another base or shipping out overseas, and here this rascal and took our money, and now where did he go? Oh, he's gone to Thailand. You ain't going to never see your money again. But lo and behold, one day, here he comes, and you can see him. And what you're remembering, not that how the Lord is taking care of you. You remember that rascal owed me $100. I had a man that owed me some money, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I had a hard time. Miss Cappy, every time I'd see him, I said, Lord, please forgive me. But I want my money. I'm just being real. I want my money. You know what? That was a whole lot of money. And finally, the guy paid me back. And right after I shouted, I said, Lord, please forgive me. See, when they don't have your money, God does. Y'all missed your shout right there. You worried about getting it back from folk that owe you. And the Lord said, if you forgive them, I'll give you double what they took. Yeah. Lord have mercy. Job did not get back the same stuff he lost. He got new stuff. Yeah. Reason why you can't get new stuff is because you're worried about the old stuff that folks owe you. Yeah. Forget about it. Go on with your life, and I'm done. I'm finished preaching. The last thing is live by God's rules, because if you want access to the kingdom, now the kingdom has to be revealed in your heart. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And then the last word is, say amen. Amen. Say amen, because that's God. That's God working in your life. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. I'm out of time. Out of time. I'm going to ask we all stand. Did y'all learn something today?
Amen.
Amen. I certainly am blessed, and we appreciate it. I want to just this time just thank the Lord for our visitors that are here. I see Mike back there. Hey, Mike, how you doing? That's a mean bass player. Mike, and you play the guitar also, right? Okay. All right. Amen. So I just want to call you out, because we might need a bass player around here. You know what I'm saying? All right. Hey, but if there be one today, if you're not a part of a church and you want to be a part of our fellowship here at Crossroad, if you can put up with me as the crazy preacher here and you still want to be a part of this church, we welcome you. We do that with open arms, because we love Jesus. We know that he died for our sin and that he rose again to justify us. So if there's one today and you feel the tug of God on your heart saying be a part, then please come. Doors of the church are open.